This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. October has been a good month for Farm Bureau in our fight to overturn the administration's Waters of the U.S. rule. The rule gives the Environmental Protection Agency broad ability to regulate farming practices under the Clean Water Act. That's despite the language of that law and two Supreme Court rulings which clearly limit the agency's authority to interstate navigable waterways and waters with a significant connection to navigable waters, not the ponds, ditches, isolated wetlands, and other small features that dot almost every farmer's or rancher's fields. When Congress passed the Clean Water Act, it meant to leave those smaller, usually in-state features to the states therein. However, under the rule, many more farmers will have to get costly federal permits, essentially ask Uncle Sam's permission to farm around such features on their own land, and there is no guarantee that a permit would be forthcoming. The good news is that early this month, on October 9th, a federal court ordered EPA to stop enforcement of the rule nationwide. A previous injunction was effective in only 13 states, so the nationwide injunction is a huge victory. It lifts the threat, temporarily, of farmers and ranchers violating the rules as they harvest this year's or plant next year's crops without even knowing if EPA deemed low areas on their land as federally regulated waters of the U.S. Then, in yet another win for agriculture, on October 13th, a judicial panel rejected the federal government's request to consolidate in the District of Columbia 14 lawsuits that states and groups, including Farm Bureau, have filed over the rule. That's a blow to the government, which hoped to gain a strategic advantage by limiting the cases to one or two courts. While both developments were welcome news, neither eliminates the WOTUS rule. The injunction is temporary, and no one knows how long it will be in place. And, of course, the denial of EPA's request for consolidation is a procedural win. True, permanent relief from the courts will come, if it comes at all, only after years of litigation, probably all the way to the Supreme Court, which decides most controversial cases on a 5-4 vote. I know it's tempting after fighting the WOTUS rule for about 2 years now to take a breather and think of WOTUS as a less urgent matter. It may be less imminent, but it is no less urgent. Injunctions run out, lawsuits take years, and ultimately come down to a vote of a handful of judges. What we really need today, as much as ever, is for Congress to give us a solid, permanent, and certain victory on WOTUS. We must continue to ask our senators to pass legislation to send EPA back to the drawing board on the WOTUS rule, as the House already has done. The legal victories are sweet, but congressional action sooner rather than later would be even sweeter. The American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture has released a new Food and Ag Resource Guide, a curated list that features top recommended resources by age group. The guide is designed to encourage agricultural literacy for young rural and urban students and to teach them about the importance of agriculture. The resource guide is intended to offer an easy way for educators and ag literacy coordinators to find the latest resources on the web. The Mississippi River Basin has gotten a report card from a group that monitors watershed health and economic impact, and that grade is a D+. The organization, America's Watershed Initiative, cited the poor condition of infrastructure as locks and dams and a lack of funding that could lead to water security issues. The Mississippi watershed is the fourth largest in the world, according to the group. It is made up of five river basins that flow across 31 states. It falls short in its goal of serving as the nation's most valuable water passage, according to the report, which notes that the watershed transports $54 billion of agricultural products annually. American Farm Bureau Federation honored 16 farm leaders as graduates of the organization's 9th annual Women's Communications Boot Camp. The group of agricultural leaders was recognized after completing an intensive 3-day course featuring sessions on working with the media, public speaking, testifying, and messaging. Boot camp graduates are encouraged to go back to their own communities and share their messages about agriculture with the non-farming public, according to Sherry Saylor, an Arizona farmer and chair of the American Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee. This year's boot camp's graduates include Megan Dwyer of Illinois. An Occupational Safety and Health Administration change in the interpretation of an exemption for ag retailers with a deadline for compliance of December 31 could also affect farmers. All ag retailers, including those that sell anhydrous ammonia to farmers, will be required to comply with process safety management of highly hazardous chemical regulations. The regs previously only applied to manufacturers of products like ammonia. The change was made by OSHA without talking to anyone from the industry, especially farmers, according to AFBF's Christy Boswell. Farmers are the top users of anhydrous ammonia and will feel an economic pinch because the cost has to go somewhere, according to Boswell. Many retail facilities are expected to bear compliance costs of more than $100,000, according to an industry survey. Farm Bureau and a coalition of agriculture groups are pressing lawmakers and industry stakeholders for either a deadline extension or a retraction of the memo announcing the change. The International Trade Commission agreed by a 6-0 vote on Tuesday that Mexico's sugar industry harmed American producers by dumping subsidized sugar onto the U.S. market. The verdict means that an accord signed by the U.S. and Mexican governments to establish a needs-based trading structure and stop Mexico's abuses will remain in effect for at least 5 years. The Commerce Department launched anti-dumping and countervailing duty investigations of Mexico's sugar industry in March 2014 after sugar producers filed cases against Mexico. The DOC inquiry concluded on September 16th and found that Mexico's sugar industry had benefited from subsidy rates up to 44% and had shipped sugar to the United States at dumping margins of more than 42%. The ITC ruled that these actions materially injured U.S. interests. Farm Bureau applauds the DOC and ITC rulings and commends the agencies for the efforts to stop this unfair trading practice by Mexico. Individuals wishing to pick up petition forms and collect signatures for the Independent Map Initiative may do so here at the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Completed petitions also may be returned to the local office. Our grassroots policy has long supported restructuring the Illinois legislative redistricting process, and Farm Bureau feels the Independent Map Amendments Coalition's proposal is a balanced approach to the process. We believe a change in the way maps are drawn will benefit our members and hope they will take an active role in helping to make that change. Illinois Farm Bureau and the Macoupin County Farm Bureau are working with the coalition to reach the goal of gathering 600,000 signatures of registered voters by April of 2016. The Illinois Constitution requires that any petition seeking to amend the legislative article of the Illinois Constitution gather at least 290,216 valid registered voter signatures. To gather the necessary signatures, the Macoupin County Farm Bureau is asking interested individuals to circulate, collect, and return petitions to the Macoupin County Farm Bureau office. Once completed, the petition sheet should be signed by the person circulating the petition and notarized and returned to the Farm Bureau office no later than December of 2015. The proposed constitutional amendment would create an 11-member independent redistricting commission to draw legislative districts for General Assembly members. The commissioners would be selected at the same time of each federal decennial census, with the first commission appointed in 2021. New districts drawn by the commission would be contiguous and substantially equal in population and would comply with federal law. All of the commission's meetings and records would be open to the public. After a majority of commission members approve a plan, the new districts would be established. The proposal from the Independent Map Amendment Coalition would remove partisan consideration from map making, and make map making public and transparent to all, which means election outcomes will not be determined in advance and may deepen the candidate pool for state elections. In the end, voters will have more choices on the ballot and more incentive to vote, which is a win-win situation for everyone, not just farmers. Macoupin County Farm Bureau would like to remind you the SMV emblems are specifically designed for slow-moving vehicles and should only be used to mark tractors and farm equipment traveling on public roads. These SMV emblems should not be used to mark mailboxes, fence posts, or other fixed objects. This use is illegal in Illinois and will result in a $75 fine. Please help Illinois farm families and motorists stay safe by avoiding misuse of the SMV emblem. Improper use distorts the true meaning. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.